Would you turn in your Bible with me to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9? Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This is what it says in the New King James Version. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is the word of God. Amen. Union, this morning I want to say a few words on this particular passage of scripture. As you know, it is a prophecy of Palm Sunday, of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I just want to say a few words this morning. I'm not going to keep you long. As we approach this Palm Sunday text, though, in the backdrop of your mind, I want you to remember that Jesus is approaching this time in his life with some anxiety because he understands that by the end of the week, he will be crucified. Remember that before Jesus went into the city of Jerusalem, he wept over the city. He on the mountain that's overlooking the city of Jerusalem, his heart was broken because the individuals to whom he was sent, those who should have known better and received the salvation that God is offering through him, those who should have been the recipients of his peace and of his grace, they rejected him. And so Jesus goes into the city of Jerusalem really heartbroken because he knows that those who shout Hosanna on Sunday will shout crucify him on Friday. And so there is something to be said about Jesus weeping over the city as we approach Palm Sunday with the Spirit of God who dwells in us. It ought to say something about the passion we have or the compassion that we ought to have for the brokenness that we see in our cities, for the homelessness, for the hatred that we see, for the racism that we see, for the greed and the selfishness. So as Jesus had compassion on the city, you and I approach Palm Sunday with joy, but also with some compassion as we look around to see what's going on in the world around us. Palm Sunday is a reminder that God faithfully fulfilled his promise to send Messiah. This prophet, Zechariah, our text today, prophesied nearly 500 years earlier that Palm Sunday would take place. So in our text this morning, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the prophet writes, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." If you look in the gospel narrative, you will see that the people on Palm Sunday, they are shouting and praising Jesus as he rode into the city of Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophecy. They knew he was coming. They did not know what he would look like. We see them praising God and shouting hosannas and laying palm branches and their clothing in the way as a kind of carpet to welcome Jesus into the city. They, however, had misplaced expectation in thinking that Jesus would be a military commander, a man of war who would take Rome by military force. But this king was different. This king is Messiah. This king is God's choice. And we ought to respond to him and praise him as King of Kings. Jesus was not interested in taking power from Rome. He was sent by the Father to defeat the power of darkness and to conquer death, hell, and the grave. His job was to conquer something that was bigger than Rome. He came not just to be the king of the Jews, but he came to be the king of the nations. He is the king of kings. And when Jesus came, he made the announcement of the kingdom, and for that we ought to give him praise. The kingdom of God, he said, is in your midst. It is in the person and presence of Jesus. The kingdom would not be inaugurated with a spectacular or with spectacle or with splendor. There would be no great and magnificent leader who would stake out a geographical claim. No, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He came to claim his kingdom, which is the world. Rather than claiming the kingdom, this kingdom would not come with pomp and circumstance. This kingdom would come in silence. It would be unseen. That's why Jesus told that parable of the leaven. He said the kingdom of God is like leaven that works in a batch of dough. You can't see it, but it grows. Amen. You can't see how yeast works in flour, but you know that if you cover it up and you wake up in the morning, that little bitty lump of dough is now become big enough to bake for bread. And that's the way the kingdom of God is, y'all. It's a kingdom that is in your heart. It's the kingdom. It's the place where God rules. It's the throne of your heart upon which God sits. That's where the kingdom is. Don't look for God to send in the troops. No, God doesn't send in military forces. He sends in those who love peace. He sends in those who are thirsty for justice. He sends in the poor and the meek. And that's what he uses to conquer the world. In fact, upon Jesus' arrival, the kingdom had already begun. He said that. God was ruling in the hearts of some people even then, and the king himself was standing among them. Rejoice greatly and give a shout to the one who is just and brings salvation. Y'all, Jesus is Lord now. He is king now. But not only that, we give praises to him because we have received by faith the testimonies of the witnesses who've seen him ascend into heaven. He ascended to take his seat at the right hand of majesty on high. He is a king like none other. Amen. He is king of kings. He's a king like we've never seen before. The Apostle John in his gospel helps us to understand that Jesus is one of a kind. For those of you who read your Bible, know a little bit about the gospel of John, you know that John not only has a high Christology, that his narrative about Christ begins with the Father in the beginning, but also there are seven signs in the gospel according to John. And these signs would distinguish Jesus as King Messiah. He would do that which no king or other man could ever do. John outlines them for us and calls them mighty works. And he calls them mighty works and he outlines them for us in order to bring us to the conclusion of his narrative. He tells us in chapter 2 that Jesus turns water into wine. Nobody has done that before. In chapter 4, he heals a nobleman's son. In chapter 6, he heals a man by the pool of Bethesda. He feeds 5,000 with a few fish and loaves. He walks on the water. He heals a man born blind, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. All of these powerful signs were the seven signs that John lifts for our observation that we might know that Jesus Christ is Messiah. And then John closes his book in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 by saying these words: Jesus performed many other signs and miracles in the presence of the disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. No other king can be classified the life-giver king. Jesus is the life-giver king. He is King Messiah. He is the one who was sent by God in order to rule this world. And I'm glad he's a king. And I'm glad that he did what he did in Scripture. But I'm also glad that he didn't stop there, because he's done some things for you and I that no one else can do. He's redeemed us by his blood. He has reconciled us to the Father. He gives us access to God the Father. He has given us the authority to use his name. He defeated death. He defeated hell. He defeated the grave, so that when I lay down this fallen frame and somebody presides over my body, it will be a home-going celebration, because Jesus has made it possible. He is the life-giver king. He was wounded for me. He was bruised and broken in my place. He took the punishment that I rightly deserve, and he died that I might have life, and that more abundantly. He is the life-giver king. He makes intercession for me. Jesus is King of Kings, and he's Lord of Lords, and he is worthy of all the praise. He comes riding humbly on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You know, he was humble. And, you know, we want our kings to be noticeable. Amen. We want our kings to wear crowns and to drive in limousines and to have the red carpet, because there's something about celebrity that registers with most of us. And if you're going to be my leader, if you're going to be my king, then you've got to make me proud with your appearance. You got to look like something. Amen. I mean, we're like that in our families, aren't we? We want our children to represent us. We want them to look like something, to look like they belong to us. And we go out of our way to make sure that their appearance is adequate for the world. But Jesus is not like that. That's not how God is. He appears more, he is more than he appears to be. Amen. He might look humble riding on a donkey, but he's more than that. He's far more than he appears to be. He's a general. He is the captain of the host, the Lord's host. He's a general with no discernible army. The Bible tells us that had Jesus decided that he wanted to come down, he could have called 10 legions of angels who were on guard and ready for the command. He's a general with no discernible army. Yeah, he's a king with an invisible kingdom. He's a captain without a ship, a doctor with no medical degree. That woman with the issue of blood had been to all the doctors in town, and none of them could help her. But the Bible says she recognized that Jesus was Messiah, and she crawled on her hands and knees just to touch the hem of his garment, and discovered that he had more medicine in the hem of his garment than all of the drugstores in town. He's a lawyer that never passed the bar. He's more than he appears to be. Have I got a witness this morning? He's been your bridge over troubled water. He's help for the helpless. How many of you can declare that he has been strength when you've grown weary? He's our hope for tomorrow. He's my joy, my peace, my protector, my provider. Aren't you glad that we have a king that's available to us, and we can lean on him, and we can trust in him, and we don't need an appointment to get to him? All you got to do is call on his name. The Bible says just call on his name. In the name of Jesus, You have access to the Father. And I know that I can trust him. And you know that as well, don't you? Because he has never let us down. Is there anyone here this morning that's willing to give Jesus praise? He's King of Kings. Come on and praise for the mighty works he has done in your life. Y'all, we have been out for a year. And we are still together this morning. We have a few seats that are vacant. We have some members that have transitioned from this life to the next. And we know that they're in good hands, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we are not worried about where they are, because wherever they are, their bodies might be in a grave, but their spirit is present with the Lord. We're not worried about that. We're not worried about that. We thank God that he is King of Kings. We've seen him do some things in our lives. We're here together this morning, aren't we? Things may not be as well as we had hoped they would be, and we may be further. We would have like to be further along than we are right now, but thank God we're still here. Thank God we're still together. Thank God you can look around you right now, and if there's somebody in the room with you, you can reach out and touch. Thank God that things are as well as they are, and we give praises to our living King. Amen. He came with unparalleled accomplishment. He is King. Isaiah said this. When Messiah can't come, he would give life to his people. And Jesus did that. He said he would lay down his own life that you might live. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own received them not. But to those who believed in him, he gave the power to become sons and daughters of the King. He was condemned to die and went to Calvary. On Calvary, he died on the cross. He died a horrible death in excruciating pain. For 3 hours, he would hang there on the rugged cross. He hung his head and died. They took him down from the cross and wrapped him in a linen cloth and laid his body in the tomb. The Roman soldiers sealed the tomb and secured the tomb. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. King Jesus declared that all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Thank God for King Jesus. Jesus is now King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which means there is no higher authority. He reigns over all things, and his reign is absolute. His reign is unalterable. Nobody can take him down. Nobody can dethrone him. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God raised him from the dead and placed him over all things. Here is what the Apostle Paul says. He is far above all things, far above rule and authority, all power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Aren't you glad your God is King over all the ages? God has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of the church. And he's worthy of all our praise. So this Palm Sunday morning, while our hearts are grieving for a broken world, our spirits are rejoicing because we know King Jesus. Thank God for King Jesus. Thank God that he came, and thank God that he's still doing works. He can encourage your discouraged heart. He can encourage those who are depressed. He inspires those who are disappointed. He enlightens those who are deceived. He instructs the uninformed. He enables those who are disabled. And he satisfies the dissatisfied. Thank God for Jesus. I'm so glad that he found me where I was. I'm so glad that he reached down and picked me up out the miry clay. So glad he set my feet on a rock to stay. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He can reach the unreachable.
He loves the unlovely. Thank God that he came. I will bless his name at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Thank God for Palm Sunday. Thank God for Palm Sunday. Wherever you are this morning, you might not have a palm in your hand, but you can just wave your hand. Wave your hand and give God thanks. Just wave your hand and thank God for your salvation. Come on and wave your hands and thank God that you're saved. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God that he died, but thank God that he rose. And thank God that he's coming again to receive his church. The kingdom is in the making. It's begun, but it has not found its fulfillment. But Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, he'll be dressed appropriately. When he comes back, you will know him as the conquering king. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Come on and give praises to the King of Kings.